Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Joining us now on the Ben and Skin Show is wickedly talented wide receiver Cole Beasley. How you doing, Cole?
Pretty good. How are we doing?
Hey, man, we're doing great. Thanks for jumping on with us. Okay, practice just ended and some sort of a game was taking place where guys were throwing footballs at a giant star.
Yes.
What was that?
That was, we were having a little competition. If we could hit the star, he would knock something off that we had on the schedule later today. So some guys missed, but he gave him a few opportunities. So it might have been a little skewed.
Rigged.
So we knocked some meetings off and some walkthroughs off, and we're going to go enjoy some time together as a team at the beach.
Nice.
And then dinner on the rookies tonight.
Ooh. Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. So who was asked to throw the ball?
I was one. Chris Jones was one.
Whoa. Before we get to everyone else, did you hit the star?
Oh, first try.
Okay.
Oh, so you were the one with the tight spiral.
No question.
Okay. So who else?
Chris Jones, Zach Martin, DeMarcus Lawrence, Byron Jones, Cooper Rush, Dak.
Dak hit it. Please tell me Dak
hit
it.
Yeah, he did.
Okay.
And the quarterbacks both got it on the first try.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Who had the worst throw?
Zach Martin, probably. His first throw was like
that duck
over.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
oh, so was he wearing all the lineman tape and stuff?
It wasn't fair. He had the lineman tape and the glove on with all the pads.
Yeah.
I was like, take that off if you throw this.
It's pretty obvious. He's gone now, but Dez, it always looked to me that Dez was the best throwing non-quarterback on the team. Remember, he used to hum that thing about
maybe arm strength.
Yeah, okay, but not like I'm not talking
pinpoint right.
Oh,
here,
are
right.
You the pinpoint guy?
I'm the pinpoint accuracy.
Well, okay, then take you out of the mix. Who's got the best arm of the non-quarterbacks?
Oh, we got so many new guys. Tavon's got a pretty good arm.
Trick play. What's up?
Other than that, I don't really know who can throw that well. Lance isn't bad. Noah's not bad. I don't know out of the new guys.
You were a quarterback, right?
Yeah,
in high school. Okay.
Were you a running quarterback?
I was both.
All right.
We ran the spread.
Run the spread?
Yeah, we didn't run the option.
Okay.
Yeah. If we did, I didn't ever do it with a pitch, man. It was just zone read.
Right.
So when did you make the transition to receiver and why?
So you would go, if you wanted to be recruited, it'd be like the summer after your junior year, you would go to camps and stuff. Well, some guys get recruited just off film, but I didn't. So I went to a bunch of mini camps, and I went to 1 3-day, and that was it. I probably went to 4 camps, and all of them I went as a receiver just because I knew nobody wanted a 5'8 quarterback besides, like, Navy, Army, and Air Force. I could have went there and played quarterback, but I didn't want to. SMU actually wanted me to come to the camp as a quarterback, and I told them no.
Oh, okay. So initially they were saying, hey.
Yeah, because I knew I wanted to go to the NFL, and I knew quarterback wasn't the way to do it. So.
Was June Jones there when you were getting recruited, or did he come later?
Phil Bennett was there. I was recruited by him. Then June came later. And
June was great for you.
Yeah. He didn't know much about me, but he was like, from what everybody's telling me, you're like the perfect guy for my system. So he's like, we want to keep you.
Yeah, he was right.
All right. Let's get down to the brass tacks. I'm super excited about everything I'm hearing about you being on the outside.
Right.
Of course, we're talking to Cole Beasley. On your rap album, which was extraordinary, by the way, there's something in there where you're talking about stereotyping you for being a little white guy, putting you in the slot, and but you kind of seem to be saying, hey, I can play on the outside, give me a chance on the outside, and lo and behold, now you're getting a chance on the outside. How did this all come about?
Yeah, it's all about opportunities, man, and last year was a struggle. I was in the slot, doing most of the same things I've done for 6 years. Eventually, they catch on. It's the NFL, and they watch film too. So it's just, that's going to help me so much more, being able to move out there. And it was easy to double team me on the inside with not necessarily double team me, but so my guy's playing hard outside leverage, and he literally just doesn't have to let me outside, and then the mic is waiting for me on any end breakers. So it's like not a true double team, but at the same time
it boxed you in.
I'm boxed in there, so it's you know, I'd try to win on all these outside routes, but the corners out there. So it was really hard and really tough for me last year because of that. And I didn't have too many opportunities down the field either. So just being on the outside kind of gives me more routes to run. And also, there's a lot of space out there. You know, people think there's a lot of space in the slot, but there's more guys in there. To me, I feel like there's more space on the outside than there is when I'm on the inside, just because you really there's only one guy you have to worry about. I mean, if you're going vertical, there's a safety when he gets involved, but it's really not really though.
What is the best way to describe? You guys got a new receiver coach, Sanjay Lal,
right.
Brought in some new receivers, and so there's all this talk about, well, what's going to be different from what they did offensively last year? What's the best way to describe to our audience so far in camp what is different about this season's offense versus what you guys did last year?
Just the versatility of everyone and how, like, we have so many guys who can play multiple positions. So when you have that, you can literally move everybody everywhere. So no guy will be just an X, just a Z, just a F, just a Y. It will all be moving around. And it might be play specific. It might not be. You know, we might just move a guy somewhere else just to put him somewhere else because they can do it. You know, so just that. You know, other than that, you know, our offense isn't much different. But we'll have guys everywhere, so you won't be able to tell what we're running based off who's where.
Sure. Right. And I don't want to look in the rearview mirror, and not trying to get you to say anything controversial or anything like that. But I'm curious, when you say the versatility of all the guys, immediately people are going to hear that and say, oh. So he's saying Dez wasn't versatile because Dez is what's gone. So,
right, no.
So are you saying Dez couldn't move around?
That's not the case.
Yeah.
We could have done it then. We had some versatility then, but now we just have more guys, more depth to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So like, say, for instance, if Dez moved inside, maybe we didn't have as many guys who could go outside. But, I mean, we had a few, but now, like, we have probably four guys who can play every position.
But I don't know if you sense this in the media or if you ignore this, but it seems like there's always an anti-Dez narrative in play. Like, okay, now that Dez is gone, you can do this, or Dez it. But, you know, we hear that Dez is in Cleveland and may jump on there. You got love for Dez, correct?
No question. Yeah, Dez didn't – there wasn't – I don't – like, having Dez definitely didn't limit us, if you know.
Yeah, right.
At all. I mean, he was one of the best receivers for a really long time. And actually, like, last year, maybe early, it took him a while kind of to get going, get back where he was. But by, like, midway through the season, he was, like, back to being Dez to me, honestly. Route running, for sure. He was probably better route running last year than I'd seen him in a long time.
This is Cole Beasley joining us on the Ben and Skin Show, 105.3 The Fan. You know, one of the things that's interesting hearing you talk about this is early in camp, Sanjay Lal came on one of our shows and was like reacting to something that was written he said, like, this is not about Dez. I'm tired of this crap.
Yeah.
And Ben and I were talking to Sanjay a couple days ago, and he was breaking things down for us. It was really fascinating. And one of the things that occurred to me is, well, it's the same offensive coordinator. It's a lot of the same guys, but a lot of times the difference can be in the teaching. I want to hear how Sanjay Lal approaches you guys and what that teaching aspect is like.
It's very technical, man, and he breaks everything down, you know, so much. And he really kind of slows it down for you in a way to where, like, we'll be an individual and nothing will be full speed. You know, it's just getting the steps right. And once you create those habits, then it just happens naturally in the game. So you don't have to do everything full speed to get the technical aspect of it done. And, you know, the greatest thing about him to me is he's not just a coach on the field. So he tries to be a coach for you in every aspect, whether it's nutrition, even though we have those people, but he still, like, talks to everybody else to get with them to make sure this is okay or that, like, with the lifting coaches and with the nutritionists. He gave us off-season workouts, running workouts, to add to our stuff that we already had. Like, he's like a complete coach. I've never had one like that, to where, you know, they coach you in every aspect of just being a professional athlete, and he does that.
So I was told you had one of your best off seasons, and you typically have a really good off season, but that you were doing a lot on your own, and then when you re-hooked up with the team, you won one. They give away a certain amount of off season awards. Did you win one of those awards?
Yeah, the off season award winner. And I've been on the team 7 years. I've won it 4 or 5 times.
Wow.
Last year was I didn't because I didn't do all the testing because I was having hammy issues.
So what does that mean? You've won it 4 out of 7 years. What does that mean you won?
So it's like the top 8 guys on the team. They have a scoring system which we test like the 40 or really we do a 20 and we make your 40 off of that. So and then we do rep maxes and bench and we do vertical. We do 5-10-5, like the shuttle. We do a modified L drill, and we test all of those things. And, and then they also take into account all the workouts that you made before we were, like, mandated to go.
Is this the thing that I get things mixed up? Is this the thing that Dan Bailey and Chris Jones always kick ass in?
Yes.
Same thing, right?
No, they're
stud athletes.
Some of the most athletic kickers and punters I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Like, Dan, in the L drill, Dan is, like, the top every year. Me and him tied.
I love that.
It's wow. Crazy. I don't know if it's just his hips are so well from being a kicker or what, but he's like the fastest time in the L every year.
So you mentioned you run a 20-yard dash and you just double it essentially. Do you have any idea what you run the 40 in right now? I mean,
they don't double it because, like, obviously your second 20 would be faster than your first 20 because you're already at full speed.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So they have a way of calculating it.
What do you think you run the 40 in right now?
Easily 4.4.
Mm-hmm. Easily?
Yeah, easily.
So do you think if you ran the 40 against me and Ben, you'd beat us by 20 yards?
No.
Okay. How many yards lead would you need?
No way. That would be – you would have to be so slow.
I'm 47.
Are you looking at us?
Like, the difference between a 4.4 and a 4.6 is like nothing. It's like maybe 3 yards, 2 to 3 yards or something.
I think I run an 8.8 is my problem.
What about we run a 30, you run a 40, and we pass a baton to each other at 15 yards. Could you still beat us?
Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
Okay, so maybe
that would be slower.
Only got to go 30 yards.
We've got to go 30 yards. We got a 10-yard head start, and we only
Ben
have to run 15 yards.
And we have a 5-yard window where I can hand off the baton.
I'd catch you just in the start alone.
Okay, well, then how about we run a 20, you run a 40?
Then it'd get hairy.
Ooh, okay.
So
I 20, like that.
25 is where we need to do this.
Yeah. Yeah.
We need to settle in at 12 and a half.
If you're starting on the 10, I'd catch you pretty quick if we're both going to, because just because of my start.
What if it's a 25, but I don't hand off to Ben until the last 7 yards?
Yeah.
I don't know. We'd have to put
All right, we'll take your calls. 877-881-1053.
We're talking to Cole Beasley on the Ben and Skin Show, 105.3 The Fan. What an amazing opportunity for you, though. Dak was talking on the NFL Network the other day about you being his guy. You're getting opportunities on the outside. Do you feel like this is going to be the best opportunity you've ever had as a pro?
No question, 100%. I've never been able to have this much opportunity, opened up to me. It's really... really most years I come into it like just hoping it'll be more than the last, but this year it's like I know it's gonna come. I just got to be ready for those opportunities, and I am, and make those plays. This year will be I honestly think it'll be my biggest year.
Okay. All right. I got one more question.
I
gotta jump in here. So in terms of fantasy football, I know you're not going to comment anything because you guys don't care about your stats or whatever, but blink once if I should draft you in my fantasy league.
Yes! Oh. That was a laugh blink, though.
I don't know. Okay,
he camouflaged it.
I don't like fantasy football.
Don't worry about that.
So when I say biggest year I've ever had, it doesn't mean – like I might not have the stats I had in 16, right?
Because
there were a lot of like variables there. Like the only reason why that happened is Dez went down for like a long part of the season. Because once he got back, he went right back to like 2 or 3 targets a game, and that was it. So – but production-wise, maybe target to like catch ratio will be good. Just because.
Just blink if I should.
Well, I don't like fantasy. Is stupid. It doesn't.
Shut up.
I hate fantasy.
You're making fun of fantasy
football.
We're gonna
fantasy.
Fight right now. Now we're gonna race for sure.
Oh,
I'm
ass.
Gonna be motivated to win that race.
I think this year more guys will have like good numbers than ever before.
So you're saying real football will be better than fantasy football?
I think it'll be more spread out.
Okay, I respect
you know
that.
What I mean?
But the teams are gonna say, we're putting 17 guys in the box. Prove you can beat us throwing the ball. Do you guys realize that?
Yeah. No. That's why I think there'll be multiple guys.
With like numbers.
With numbers, yeah.
Spreading it around. Yeah. Like seed and planting.
So there's no, like, I know Dak said I may be his favorite target, but there's no true number one in our offense. It's just like we're spreading the ball. Guys can win. It could go anywhere.
You feel like if you get open, you could get the ball.
Yeah.
But isn't that the whole idea of quote-unquote changing things is just not letting everybody know exactly where that sucker's going?
Right. You know? Which is moving guys around and putting guys in different places. You don't know who's running what and what plays we're going to run because the personnel is going to be different.
All right, before we let you go, Ben and I have both been through this because we've done music before. How critically do you listen to your record now? Do you listen to it and go, I should have done that different? I should have done that different? Or are you happy?
Always.
You're right.
Yeah, you're going to, I mean, regardless, whether it's like the best album ever, I'd be like that.
Right.
You know, there's always something I wish I might have done different or I should have took more time on this, you know, done something different. I mean, it's overly critical at times, but it was like that when I was working on it too. But then I was like, you know, I gotta birth that thing at some point. Yeah, I gotta eventually just do it. So
I'm glad you shared it though, because really it was about being cathartic and therapeutic for you,
right?
You
know,
and
then no question.
And then you decided, okay, I'll go ahead and share it. And it was kind of like, you know, dealing with misperceptions the whole time, and then there became misperceptions about the album, and it was like, right. Wait, are you quitting football? Are you going to tour?
No, are you going to do this? No.
And is this the big distraction and all that? Which was funny because it just created some more misperceptions.
Really, the hardest thing about the music thing is getting people to give it a chance who aren't athlete or like sports fans.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because I mean, I get the stigma. I think the same way too. You know, anytime you hear about an athlete rapping, it's like, oh, he's probably not good. You know what I mean?
Right.
So you don't even want to listen to it. So there's still like tons of people who haven't even heard it or whatever. And that's going to be my biggest challenge in the future. But
we need to get you a track with Damian Lillard and you guys can shatter all those
walls. I've actually already talked to him.
Oh, that's beautiful. Oh, really?
Does he know you can ball too? Like hoop?
No, we didn't talk about basketball. But I have talked to him. Yeah, I told him I just wanted him to listen to it just to give it a chance, and he did, which I was very appreciative of that, and he liked it.
He's got flow too.
Yeah, he does. He does. That's why I wanted him to, because of how he raps, why I wanted him to listen to it.
Legit rappers, not just athletes, man.
Dude, we can't thank you enough for taking the time. We're excited about the opportunity you have. We know you're going to be fantastic. Appreciate you giving us the silent wink, letting us and our listeners know to draft you in our fantasy teams. Thanks so much for your time. We'll talk to you soon.
Yep, no problem. Thanks for having me.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.